compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. Thank you for listening. Your phone calls are a big part of the program, so please don't hesitate. Don't be shy. Call me at 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I watched on the YouTubes last night. It was live. Catherine Jean Lopez, who is a writer for the National Review, she was live at my parish in Columbus, Ohio. I didn't know about it in time to be able to attend in person, but she was there speaking about St. Catherine of Siena with Father Peter John Cameron, who is a giant in his own right. He's now at my parish, Father Peter John Cameron. How great is that? And if you're saying, I know that name, where do I know that from? Okay, he's a Dominican friar. And if you've seen or used, or maybe you subscribe to the Magnificat monthly missal that comes in the mail, beautifully produced, and it's just a wonderful resource. He started that. That's his brainchild, and he was the editor for many years until just recently. So they gave him a different assignment. Excuse me. After all that success and all of the wonderful good that he did, they moved him to go do other good things. So anyway, so he was at my parish last night, where he now resides. And Catherine Jean Lopez of National Review, they did a talk, kind of a joint, you might call it like a panel discussion, about St. Catherine of Siena. And one of the hallmarks of her life was that she was fearless in speaking the truth, sometimes to people very high up the food chain, including the Pope himself in one case. So I'd like you to read this article by Catherine Jean Lopez. It's called What St. Catherine of Siena Would Say to Today's Bishops. And I won't have time to read all of it for you, but there are a few selections I'd like to share with you that she shares with us. So here are some excerpts. This is in part some of Catherine Jean Lopez's commentary, and then a few things that she quotes from St. Catherine of Siena. So she says, take, for example, one 1379 letter. This is in the year 1379, to a layman who would later become the king of Naples. It could apply to every soul there is then and now. In her typically encouraging style, St. Catherine of Siena says, dearest brother in Christ, gentle Jesus, I long to see you a courageous knight fighting bravely for the glory and praise of God's name and the advancement and reform of Holy Church. But be aware that you cannot do this well. You cannot be courageous and come to the help of the Holy Church unless you first fight and make war against our three chief enemies, the world, the devil, and our weak flesh. These are the three chief tyrants that kill our souls so far as grace is concerned, no matter what our position. If we use the hand of our free choice to open the gate of our will and let him in. Okay, I agree 100%. To those making war against the tyrants in this way are not as liable to make the news, no doubt, but it is, and this is Catherine Jean Lopez speaking, but it is becoming increasingly and brutally clear that an evil rot needs to be rooted out of the life of the church today. Writing in 1380 to Pope Urban VI, Catherine says, quote, she's talking to the Pope, by the way, Il Papa. You cannot with a single stroke wipe out all of the sins people in general are committing within the Christian religion, especially within the clerical order, over whom you should be even more watchful. But you certainly can and are obligated to do it. And if you don't, you would have it on your conscience. At least do what you can. You must cleanse the church's womb, that is, see to it that those who surround you closely are wiped clean of filth, and put people there who are attentive to God's honor and your welfare and the good of the Holy Church. And in this letter, she's warning Il Papa. She's warning the Pope. She says, do you know what will happen to you if you don't set things right by doing what you can? God wants you to reform his bride completely. He doesn't want her to be leprous any longer. I get the shivers at the very thought of it. God wants you to reform his bride completely. He doesn't want her to be leprous any longer. If your holiness does not do all you can about this because God has appointed you and given you such dignity for no other purposes, God will do it himself by using all sorts of troubles. She wrote to Pope Gregory XI in February of 1376, saying, I see the infernal wolf carrying off your little sheep and there is no one to rescue them. So I am turning to you, our Father and Shepherd, begging you in the name of Christ crucified to learn from him who with such blazing love gave himself up to the shameful death of the most holy cross to save his lost little sheep, the human race, from the devil's hands. Because of its rebellion against God, here are the devils holding his sheep as their own possession. And a month later, she wrote to the Pope again. She says, I tell you in the name of Christ crucified that you must use your authority. You are in charge of the garden of the Holy Church. So, first of all, this is St. Catherine of Siena, you know, 700 plus years ago, writing to the Pope in her day. She says, you are in charge of the garden of the Holy Church. So, first of all, uproot from that garden the stinking weeds filled with impurity and avarice and bloated with pride. And she has a parenthetical comment here. She says, I mean the evil pastors and administrators who poison and corrupt the garden. Use your authority, you who are in charge of us. Uproot these weeds and throw them out where they will have nothing to administer. Tell them to tend to administering themselves by a good holy life. Plant fragrant flowers in this garden for us, pastors and administrators who will be true servants of Jesus Christ crucified, who will seek only God's honor and the salvation of souls, who will be fathers to the poor. One or two other quick selections. Again, this from Catherine Jean Lopez's great article called What St. Catherine of Siena Would Say to Today's Bishops. In a 1376 letter that she wrote to a Catholic priest, she said, where is the purity of the ministers of God's Son? Reflect that just as you demand that the chalice you carry to the altar be clean and would reject it if it were dirty, so God's supreme eternal truth demands that your soul be pure and clean without stain of deadly sin, especially the sin of impurity. These days, she said, we are seeing the exact opposite of the purity God requires. Not only are they not God's temples carrying the fire of God's word, but they have become stalls lodging for pigs and other animals. They carry within the house of their souls the fire of anger, hatred, animosity, and ill will. For they harbor pigs, a filthiness that is incessantly rolling about within them like a pig in the mud. How bewildering to see Christ's anointed ones giving themselves over to such wretchedness and immorality. Now keep in mind, she was writing this in, maybe not quite 700 years ago. So if you ever say to yourself, and sometimes it's tempting, man, things are bad. Things are really bad. In fact, things are as bad as they've ever been. Well, I don't know. For St. Catherine of Siena to say this to the Pope and to bishops and to priests and to lay people, does any of this sound familiar to you? Does any of this ring a bell? She said to another priest in a letter she wrote to him in 1376, she commended him to be bathed and drowned in the blood of the Son of God for strength to follow in the footsteps of Christ. She says, my soul longs to see you a true shepherd stripped of all self-centeredness. I would have you courageously keep your wide open eyes fixed on God's honor and the salvation of other people, and do keep a good watch lest the devil rob you of your sheep. I can't help myself. I'm going to give you a couple more. It's just that good. This is a letter in 1376 that she wrote to a cardinal. She says, I say you are a pillar to keep this bride's home safe, so you must be strong, not weak, for weak things topple with the slightest wind. Whether that wind is difficulty or some wrong that may have been done to us or too much of the world's abundance and prosperity, pleasure and grandeur, she says, we must invest our affection, our desire, our love in something stronger than ourselves. I mean in God, the source of all strength. He is our God who loved us without being loved. And once we have discovered and experienced such a gentle love, she says, strong beyond all other strength, we cannot cling to or desire any other love but him. And then here's the last one, the last selection in this wonderful article. This is a letter written to lay people. So it's written to you and me. She says, shame, shame on our human pride, our self-complacency, our self-centeredness, when we see how good God has been to us, how many gifts and graces he has given us. And not because he has to, but because he wants to. Obtuse as we are, we seem not to see or feel this love so hot that if we were made of stone, it would long ago have burst us open. I can see no other reason except that the eye of our standing is not on the tree of the cross, For there is revealed such warm love, such gentle, persuasive teaching, filled with life-giving fruits, such generosity that he has torn open his very body, has shed his life's blood, and with that blood has baptized and bathed us. We can and should make use of that baptism every day with continual remembrance and great love. I mean, I can't add anything to that. How can I add anything to that? That's the great St. Catherine of Siena, a humble, zealous, holy woman who is not afraid of speaking the truth, and very often to men and others in high positions. But don't forget, she's also directing all of those things toward you and me. However lowly you and I might be, however insignificant you and I might be, those words are directed to us as well, because we're all in it together. This is the body of Christ, after all. And as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when one member of the body suffers, all the members suffer with it. So if you're thinking to yourself, yeah, well, I'm suffering because, you know, the clergy or the bishop or this person or that person isn't doing his job. Okay, fair enough, maybe so. But don't forget your role in the body of Christ, mine too, obviously, and how you and I have a contributing presence, whether for good or for ill, whether for the uplifting of the body or for its demise by our own behavior. Sold. Did we just sell something, Cyrus?
It just rang a bell.
Okay. It rang a bell for you. Okay, good. I like it. Well, I love that. So, Cyrus, thank you in advance for posting that article by Catherine Jean Lopez. And by the way, that talk that they gave about St. Catherine of Siena is archived on YouTube. So if you look up Father Peter John Cameron and Catherine Jean Lopez and look up their talk on St. Catherine of Siena, you'll find it. Nancy and I watched the whole thing live last night, and it was great. Back to the phones, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Mike now, listening in Green Bay. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Patrick. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I called earlier, I think it was last month, and I just...
Hey, Mike,
I just got off.
If you're on speakerphone, please take it off speakerphone because I'm having a hard time hearing you.
It is off speakerphone.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Anyway, I just got out of prison February of this year after a year and a half of making a big mistake.
Okay.
And thought I hit rock bottom. And you gave me some advice to talk about, you know. I wasn't really going to, you know, hurt myself, but I thought, you know, I never said that I would do what I did, and it scared me. And I talked to a few people, and I've been listening to your program since then. And I realize now that everybody has to hit rock bottom. And I think I fortunately did hit rock bottom. Now I can show God, because of this, I've never been close to God. Mm-hmm. Now, then I haven't.
Yeah.
And I'm up there. I'm 69 years old. So, well, okay. Everybody in Green Bay now knows all that. I don't care.
You mentioned I do remember our phone call. I'm not quite sure about some of the details, but did you say you were in jail for a year and a half, is that right?
Prison for a year and a half, right.
Got it. Okay, prison. So now that you're out, and as I'm trying to recall the details of our conversation, you want to be close to God. You're seeking to be close to Him.
Right.
What has happened in your life since you and I spoke? What are some steps you've taken since the last time you and I talked?
I've talked to a couple people from the diocese, and I have a spiritual director that has guided me to go back to the church. And it's something that you can't go right away. I have to prove myself that I'm not the monster that I was in prison for.
Okay.
But it was really great because I see him every 2 weeks. And the last time I saw him, it was the first time I had received communion. Okay.
That's good.
In a year and a half. And I did that. I went to confession, or I went to communion at least once a week for almost 62 years. Mm. And to lose that was, I was lost. But God found me. I found God. And yeah. Everything is going better now.
You know, that is so good to hear.
Thank God for your soul. And I just look forward to going to Mass Live. I mean, I think I'm going to be a basket case, but I don't care. You know, because
but you've got some people helping you now.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's the important thing. The other people are going to, there's going to be people that are going to look down on me. And I'm just going to say, well, good, but I'm going to, and I will, and I do pray for them. And it makes me it feels a lot better than yelling at them or calling, you know, what I want. You know, we're on the air, so yeah. I'll clean it up.
Hey, Mike, are you on your own nowadays, or have you plugged back in with a wife or family, or what's your situation personally?
I've been single all my life, but I'm not lonely.
Okay.
I love being by myself.
But do you have friends and people around you who can help when you're feeling down?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Good. That's good.
It is, but it was hard to reach out to them because it was hard to talk about what I did. And now they know that was a big mistake, but God has forgiven you, and the church is about to forgive me to a point, you know. I still have to get that, and I understand that, because the church also has to protect their members. And to some people, I might be a monster, and I'm not. But that's, you know, like I said before, I've never been this close to God in my life. And it might be, I mean, I've watch live stream TV, and that helps me a lot.
That's good.
But I know within a month, I'll go to, because the church that I'm going to, the church that they're trying to get me in is only 3 blocks from me, because I don't drive anymore.
Let me share a Bible passage, Mike. I hope it will give you some encouragement. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In beginning of verse 9, St. Paul says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor sexual perverts, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor robbers will enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God." Now, this next verse is the key. "And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." So what I personally find so encouraging about that is, look at all those different sins. Sexual sins, financial sins, sins of pride, sins of idolatry, so many different things, drunkenness, you name it. So it's pretty much like the rogues gallery of sins that people can commit. And St. Paul says that the very people he's writing to, they themselves at some point used to be involved in all those different things. And look at them now. They've been washed and sanctified and justified. And that, to my mind, is a description, it sounds to me anyway, of where you are in life right now. You look back and you shudder because you realize the things that have happened, but then you look forward and you realize what God has planned for you. You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you tell me that was Colossians what?
Yeah, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And you can start reading in verse 9.
Chapter 6.
1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Okay, chapter 6.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Patrick. I appreciate your time and your effort. And keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mike. Hang in there. hang in there. Jesus is going to take care of you. He already is doing that, as you can see. I'll be right back with more right after this.
At the intersection of faith and culture, The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. This is The Patrick Madrid Show, and my number is 888-914-9149. People, Cyrus people are frustrated. They're frustrated right now.
We're having too much fun behind the scenes.
That is psychologically jarring, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
play the, just like the last 10 seconds. Just it's like whiplash. Yeah. No. Play, give me, 10 seconds worth as it builds up. All right. You're not going to play ball with me. Okay. All right.
This is a edited machine we have here.
Yeah, the Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right.
That enough? Have you had enough for that yet?
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Lyle in St. Paul, Minnesota. Thank you for holding, Lyle. Welcome.
Thanks, Patrick. Wanted to comment a little earlier talking to a gentleman, and you mentioned that when we can't control others, that a lot of times the only thing we can do is pray. And then you mentioned that to some may look at that as a cop-out. And I agree with you that prayer is not a cop-out.
Yeah.
I think, though, that it's important to realize that oftentimes prayer is not an end in and of itself, and that we pray, we have prayer in the sacraments to strengthen us and give us the courage to go outside of our comfort zone and be the witnesses that Christ calls us to be. Because more often than not, I'm sure you would agree that, God can work any way that he wants, but more often than not, he chooses to work through us. And and I think we have a real problem in our church today where I see a lot of men coming back to their faith, getting involved in the church, in prayer and study, but that action component is missing. There's a reluctance there. I think we're in a comfort zone. It's hard to get out there and put it on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Relevant Radio knows what that feels like, because I think you want to have a good relationship with the bishops you're working with. And so, I think it's hard to go that extra mile. And the example I use is the Memorare campaign, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I think if that Memorare campaign were followed up with a call to action, as you mentioned earlier, to rally the troops, that would really make it powerful. But I think
let's pause on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to cut you off. Why don't you finish?
They don't want to stir anything up because they got enough things going on now, and we're just kind of stuck in this, in this apathy. And I think it's in cowardice. We're afraid to step over it. We get in a comfort zone, and we all have a tendency. We want to stay. We want to keep that comfort zone. So maybe if I just go to adoration, I go to mass, adoration and pray, maybe that's enough. And that's not an end. That's to strengthen us to go out and fight the good fight.
Yeah. Well, I don't agree with some of what you said. I agree with some of it, but I don't agree with it. So, okay, let me get this straight. You're accusing Relevant Radio of cowardice because we're not doing what? Grabbing pitchforks and torches and doing what? How is it cowardice for Relevant Radio to serve the church by teaching the truth day in and day out? I don't get that part. How is that cowardice?
Well, you're taking what I said out of context a bit there. The cowardice comes, and I'm not accusing Relevant Radio, I'm accusing all of us. We are in a comfort zone.
Well, okay. And I'm not here to argue with you, Lyle. I'm sure you're very sincere, and I don't mean to be contrarian, but a moment ago you were saying, how about the Relevant Radio 100 million memorare campaign. That didn't go far enough. There was no call to action, and that's a form of cowardice because you didn't give a call to action. It specifically was about Relevant Radio, and you specifically used Relevant Radio as an example. What I'm not clear on is what is it you think Relevant Radio is doing or not doing that's cowardice? That's your word, not mine. I don't understand that. What do you mean by that?
Well, again, I use Relevant Radio as an example, but I'm not saying it's just Relevant Radio, that we're afraid to step out and be the witness.
I don't understand that, Lyle. I mean, I'm not going to make it about me, but I mean, I do this 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, every day of the year, outside of, you know, a couple of vacation weeks here and there. I'm doing it. If you listen to Relevant Radio 24/7, we're talking about the things that really mattered. And I'm not trying to say, hey, look at Relevant Radio, but since you brought it up, I'm just responding. I know any number of very good, virtuous bishops who are out there publicly. I know of priests who do this. It's easy to paint with a broad brush and call people cowards, but, you know, some are, yeah. But not everybody is. And I don't think it's fair for you to insinuate that there are people out there who really are trying hard and probably a lot better and a lot harder than I am, but they're trying really hard. And then to say that they're just cowards, because what? What is it they're not doing that would meet your exacting specifications?
Well, Patrick, I don't think it's fair for you to cut me off and not let me finish my point when I'm trying to explain what I meant by that.
Well, here you are. Here's the golden opportunity, Lyle. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
All right. Appreciate it. The example of the memorare campaign. Millions and millions of memorares going up, and yet no call to action. For example, you're doing the Walk to Mary. You promote that. You're calling people out to come out and do something. But you don't call people out. We're doing this a memorare campaign to end abortion, but there's no call to go out and be a witness at the Planned Parenthood.
All right, Lyle. I don't know why this is difficult to understand, but the memorare campaign is in itself a call to action. That's a call to action. Jesus called us to the action of praying all the time. So there are more than one way. There is more than one way. There are more than one way for us to take action. And so to propose that there are other things that can be done, yeah, I don't deny that. But there are plenty of people who are out there at the abortion clinics. I mean, it almost seems as though you're under the illusion that nobody's out there doing anything. I hope you don't feel that way.
Well, I'm certainly not under that illusion because I'm out there on a regular basis and I see the people who are out there. But most Catholics are not out there. It's the few that are out there. And you just struck to my first point was that prayer is not a cop-out. However, it's not an end in and of itself. Prayer is to strengthen us to go out there and fight, Patrick. And that's what
you say, Lyle, but that's not what Jesus says. You know, we can understand prayer as a means to an end in terms of communicating with God and all the things that we do when we pray. But prayer as an action is a good unto itself. And so I would disagree with you if you're thinking that, oh, well, they're just calling people to pray and that's not a call to action. That is a call to action. And for many people, that's
Michael,
all they can do.
Patrick?
Yeah.
I did mention earlier that I agree that prayer is powerful. And I did not say that it's never an end of itself. I said more often than not, God chooses to work through us. And if we could understand that prayer and sacrament is to strengthen us to go out of our comfort zone, to go out and be those witnesses.
I don't disagree with
prayer
that.
Prayer is even more powerful.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
That is what
you
said.
And I are in agreement. So what is it? Okay, what is your complaint then? What is it? Fill in the blank for me. You don't like it because what? What is not happening that you want to see happen?
I would like to see Relevant Radio follow up with the memorare prayer campaign with a call to action to go out to tell people we've all been praying these memorares to strengthen us. Now let's go out and be the witnesses Christ calls us to be.
All right. Hey, everybody. Pray the Memorare, pray the Rosary, and go out and be the witnesses that Christ wants you to be. I just said it. And I mean every word
right.
of it.
And now,
and it's no different, Lyle, than anything I've been saying on this program for all the years that I've been doing it. And the same with Father Simon, and the same with Drew Mariani, and the same with all the other hosts on Relevant Radio. It's a continuous effort on our part, for better or for worse, or for, you know, for however well or poorly we may be doing it, but we have been doing that, and we'll continue to do that.
You have, and I acknowledge that, and I challenge you and encourage you to use the influence you've built up with Relevant Radio, and to talk to your peers, and to influence what influence you have with the bishops to do an official campaign, just like you're promoting the Walk to Mary. I would like to see you organize and promote a witness and a rally outside of the Planned Parenthood.
Well, Lyle, that's probably not going to happen because that's not my job. I have the set of duties that I'm called to do. Everybody has a different set of duties that they're called to do. And my support for the people who are out there rallying and doing those things is unwavering. And I think it's self-evident. So I wish you well in your personal efforts to do what you can. And I hope at the very least you'll wish me well in my efforts to do what I can.
Well, I do wish you well, Patrick, and I'm grateful.
Thank you.
I will pray for you and encourage you because you are doing many wonderful things. But like many of us, we want to use those other wonderful things as an excuse not to go out there and do what's really difficult. So I encourage you to get out there and pray in front of the abortion clinic.
Hey, Lyle, we're talking past each other at this point. I challenge you to maybe stop and think a little more clearly about some of the things that people are doing. I challenge you to not be so hasty in assuming that people are not doing the things that God wants them to do. But anyway, I wish you well, and I'm glad that we had this conversation. Thank you. I think it's time for a break, so let's do that, and we'll come back with more of your phone calls right here on the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
There's a line open, so now is your opportunity to ask Patrick a question by calling 888-914-9149.
The programming you hear throughout the day on the Relevant Radio Network is sponsored in part by Christendom College. More info at getprinciples.com. We thank them for supporting Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
We are back. Thank you for listening. I sure appreciate it. The number to dial to be on the program, 888-914-9149. Twitter is lighting up.
Oh,
Team Taco
yeah.
is indignant.
It's blowing
I don't
up
think they
here.
Liked that last conversation too much.
I'm seeing a lot of stuff rolling here. Perfect response to End This Nonsense. Relevant Radio is a quintessential example of being a witness.
Whoa, you read that one again? Which one was
Relevant
that?
Radio is the quintessential example of being a witness. He seems confused.
Points for using quintessential. That's a good
did
word.
I say it right?
No, you said it right.
Oh,
yeah. So who are these? This is on Twitter.
This
who
is
are the
Twitter.
Names of the people
this
who are
is,
saying this?
This is Grizzly at... Should I read the at?
Just the name.
Yeah,
the handle's
that's
fine.
Grizzly. And boy, there's more. I'm being bombarded here.
Okay.
Yeah, do you see any?
I see one from Grizzly. This may be the same one. He says... what do you say? This guy's confused. Exactly. The Memorare is by definition a call to action, and the result is giving people courage and inspiration to do exactly that.
Most Catholics.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be unfair to, I think, was it Dale? Was it the guy?
Lyle.
Oh, Lyle. Okay, yeah. So I don't want to be unfair to Lyle, and I'm sure he's a great guy, and I'm sure he and I would agree on virtually everything. We just have a difference of opinion on what a call to action means. But I can see from the reactions on Twitter that a lot of people didn't agree with what he had to say. Fair enough. You know, it's the court of public opinion. But my favorite is the one from Isaac Herrera. He says, listening to the Patrick Madrid Show right now, and he's got a clip of Lucy from the I Love Lucy show, and she's got big eyes. Like, what is
yeah,
going on?
That's a good one.
I'm going to retweet that for those who want to. Maybe you can retweet it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, these are good. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. So, hey, everyone's welcome here. Everybody is welcome. So please don't feel like we're going to drive anybody away. But honestly, if I disagree with you, I'll say so. Because I know that if you disagree with me, you're going to say so. And that's, I think, the foundation of a helpful conversation. Don't you think, Cyrus?
I do. And his heart was in the right place. But other people are acting how they're doing what they can in their own way. And that's going to be different for every single person. So because someone's taking action in a way that's different from yours doesn't mean their action is any less.
Right. I mean, I will grant the point that Lyle, I think, was making, and that is that some people aren't doing anything. They're just sitting back. But what I object to is his mischaracterization of saying that, you know, that we're engaging in cowardice. That was his word that he used more than once, saying that, you know, this, it's cowardice to ask people to pray memorares and then not do X. And anyway, so that was a good, lively conversation. I'm glad we had it. And I'm sure other people will react to it as time goes on. The number is 888-914-9149. Why don't we go now to, let's go to Jake. I'm just trying to make sure we go to the right place. In Cranberry, Pennsylvania. Hi, Jake.
God bless you, Patrick.
Thanks, Jake.
There's three types of people in the world. There's fighters, there's those who help the fighters, and there's those who do nothing. You people at Relevant Radio do a yeoman's job. I think you're doing God's work, in my view.
Thank you. I thought you were going to say there are three kinds of people in the world. The people who make lists and everyone else who doesn't.
Very nice. You spoke the other day and you said seminarians are taught to give their homily basically on the readings, which, great, super, super. I'm 52 years old, been in the church my whole life. Guess what? I've heard the readings before, right? Mm-hmm. I've heard them a couple of times, maybe, you know, hundreds of times, and that's super. But I think to speak a little bit to what Lyle was saying, and prayers for Lyle, because I think he's just a little off base. But where are those priests that let the flock know what we're fighting against in the world? I get it. You know, relate it back to the readings because it's all there. You know, whichever story from the Bible it is, it's all there. But there's things going on today that, good gosh, we have to fight to stop. And I think a lot of the flock is great people. They're raising their families. They're going to work. They're, you know, doing the right thing. And they don't know a lot of the things, the evil things that are going on in the world. And you guys, once again, do a great job on the weekends. Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, unbelievable, terrific. We know why he was the number two rated television show in America, because it was a great message. It was entertaining. Not everybody can be entertaining, but at least
I understand.
If we can implore the priest to get off of this, moving on from the reading to, hey, did you see this movie? Because this movie kind of tells us,
I hear what you're saying.
We actually need that.
I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you insofar as let's imagine, for most of the people who are at Mass on Sunday, that's the 1 hour a week that they do any kind of formal Catholic thing. So it's a very small window within which the priest has an opportunity to catechize. I completely agree with you. And I was saying in my earlier comment, I guess it was yesterday or the day before, about the seminarians being taught to preach from the readings. I was just saying this is sort of a matter of fact. It's not necessarily the best way, in my view. And I think the best way, or the better way, would be what you're proposing, and that is preach on the readings. Yes, that's important. But at the same time, draw out from those readings the issues of the day that have a direct impact on people every day, because that's all there. And to make the connections and to help catechize people that way is a very good thing. So I agree with you. I was not saying what I said a few days ago to say this is how it should be done. I'm just saying this is how they're trained. This is what they're trained to do. And there's merit in that.
I agree too, and I was not putting you down for it or saying
I know.
This is the only thing you can do.
Yeah,
and
no,
I think as relevant radio listeners, we are going to be praying for Lyle. And you had two calls over the past couple months from, I believe his name was Bobby, and he was kind of anti-Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And you know what we're doing? I know what I'm doing. I'm praying for Bobby.
That's great.
I remember that call. Taught to do.
He was the one, if we're thinking of the same one, he was really mad and he was saying the Catholic Church is a scam. Is that the same call you're thinking of?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And then he hung up on me. And that, you know what he did? He actually wrote me a scathing email after the show was over and said more or less the same things. You know? Okay.
There's the fighters, there's those who help the fighters, and those who do nothing. Hey, Bobby, we're even there for you, man. We're praying for you. We're praying for you that you see the light.
And that's true, Jim.
I'm just trying to say, I would hope that the priests in this time would see what you're saying and listen to what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right. There are priests out there. There are bishops out there that are doing it, and some not so much. So
that's
I'm just
true.
Trying to encourage those who are not to get on board.
And I don't disagree with Lyle's point to that extent. In other words, that to the extent that there are people who can and should be doing something and aren't, I acknowledge that. So, you know, but it's kind of like the 80-20 rule. It always seems to be that way, that 20% of the people are the one who do 80% of the work. We see that in parishes, and I guess it's part of the bigger church as well. So, well, thank you, Jake. I appreciate your words of wisdom and your encouragement. Thank you for that. Let's go to Katie now in Salmon, Idaho. Hi, Katie. Or excuse me, Kate. Forgive me. Hi, Kate.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I go by both. Hi, Patrick. So I was just going to call in regards to what Lyle was talking about. And I thought about when my kids, I homeschooled them for years, and I put them in school, high school part-time. And they came home after like the first week and said, "It's so wonderful. You just go there and they tell you what to do and when to do it and kind of how, and you barely have to think." I said, and so I guess what I see is that, you know, we're all in a sense like the homeschoolers, and that we're handed this huge body of history, tradition, and facts, and, you know, and it's up to us to pray and then discern and decide, you know. I mean, sometimes we're the Teresa of Lisieux, who's going to do small things. Sometimes we're the Avila. Sometimes we're the Catherine of Siena.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine was pointing out the other day, gosh, the bishops haven't called us to pray the rosary against COVID, and the evangelicals have these big conferences, and they're doing stuff, you know, a call to action. And I said, when have we ever not been called to action? We've always been called, and it's just up to us individually. There's so many resources out there to help us discern, and there's so many groups to be a part of. And I think the important, you know, thing to remember with prayer is that discernment is there. And then for me, it's so hard to kind of shut up and listen and just say, God, what do you want from me? And to be still and silent long enough, or, you know, vigilant enough to watch and see. And, you know, like Pope Leo, he said, it's not time to do business. It's time to pray, you know, and then there are other times to be in action. So,
you know, I'm thinking as you're saying this, Kate, if you don't mind me kind of adding to what you're saying. And I was thinking about this when I was speaking to Lyle. All of those cloistered religious sisters who do, quote unquote, nothing but pray all day. You know, their whole apostolate is dedicated to adoration and prayer. They're doing so. That is a call to action. That is an end unto itself. It's not a means to an end. It's actually doing something. And you know, I think about them and I wonder, I almost shudder when I try to wonder, what would this world be like, as bad as things may be? How much worse might they be if we didn't have those hidden souls in monasteries and convents praying perpetually, getting up at 2 a.m. like the Trappists do and others to pray for the world? How bad might things be if they weren't there? And we really don't notice them because they're hidden from our view. God sees them, but we don't see them. And their prayers are powerful.
And I think, you know, to the converse of that, you know, when I was raising a family and I had 2 college degrees and I was like, all I'm doing is raising kids. And, you know, I got involved in youth ministry because I felt like you have to be involved in action. And I literally missed the point for many years that my motherhood is a vocation and the most precious and beautiful thing I was called to do at that moment. But that call to lead the charge and be out there, you know, I needed, you know, it was like that societal kind of charming of thinking that if you're doing something, then you're successful. And I thought, you know, if you look at kind of the lists of virtues, I'm doing this Metanoia journal, and it's so multifaceted at any time in our lives what we can be in service to God. And St. Therese of Lisieux is such a beautiful example that it doesn't have to be great things. It's just done with great love and small ways and many things throughout the day that you influence people. And
I've got to press on, Kate. Hence her title, The Little Flower. Do little things with great love. I'm glad you brought that up, Kate. That's an excellent point. Thank you. Let's go to Castronito in Clovis, New Mexico. Castronito, welcome.
Yes, sir, Mr. Patrick. Pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I listen to you every day, and I admire you for all the things that you do. And
thank you.
Your patience. I love your patience and the way you handle all your calls. And
thank you. Important. I'm getting a big head. You probably should get to your point because this is just way too many compliments for me. Go ahead, Castro.
Okay. Now, I go to my point. You had a call earlier about a lady trying to could not give you an answer to how to approach this abortion, how to put an end to it.
Oh, the class action lawsuit. Is that the call you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you for filling in. Yes, sir. That's what I love about you. And so my question is, and I heard you made a comment on how all these millions and millions of dollars going toward Planned Parenthood and all these other facilities, but you also mentioned how they contribute, the government contribute to our Catholic religion.
And for people who didn't hear that, I'll just say, so we in the Catholic Church, we, you know, our dioceses, our parish and such, and our agencies are constantly engaged 24/7 with works of mercy. So the Catholic Church's social justice program in action, helping people on the streets and drug addicts and people who need medicine and free food and unwed mothers and orphanages and all those things that the Catholic Church does on an ongoing daily basis, all of which are very important, of course. I was saying, for the sake of people who are wondering about what's going on, that I can't imagine that there aren't people who are calculating the risk that if, as the lady was saying, there were a class action lawsuit brought against the United States government, whether or not a hostile administration in the government might say, oh, okay, if that's how you feel, and then shut off all of that federal money that's going to dioceses on a monthly basis to help with these works of mercy. And the concern I could easily imagine is, what about all those people who rely upon those services? What happens to them? And how that would enter into someone's calculation. So that was the background for those who didn't hear what you referred to. Okay. So what about that?
Yes, sir. And I'm glad you did. Well, this is what I'm going with that. And this is just my personal humble opinion. That this is how I deal with issues like this that I confront on a daily basis. They're challenges. They're not problems for me. They're challenges.
So how would you encapsulate this in a statement? Because we're running out of time.
It's to reject any money from the federal government, because, and let the chips fall where they may, Patrick. because we cannot allow to say the drug dealer gives me money but in the same time he's contaminating the whole population. Yeah. Or let me put it in other words, there's so many different ways I can put it. Let's say a radical Muslim in their beliefs, when we come against them and they ask us to convert, what are we going to say? Hey, I got a family to support. A lot of people depend on me. Don't kill me. Well, you either convert or you're going to be eliminated. Are we going to convert, Patrick? No, of course not. We know where we're going, and we should not be afraid to die. We should be looking forward for that day. So I understand everything that you say about all the help, all this money is helping for. I say, stop and say, if you're going to fund money for these other organizations, I don't want any of it. I don't want any.
I understand. I don't disagree with your premise. It's how do you accomplish that? And at the same time, do what's right and necessary for the people who rely upon that. It is complicated and difficult, but I don't disagree with your premise. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be right back with hour three of the program right after this. Please stay right there.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more Patrick Madrid. Come on.